Hi, I'm Kayla Ali, and welcome back to the Ali Perspective. Now, I've missed you guys, and there's been a lot of things that has happened in these few weeks since I have talked to you guys and really, you know, kind of connected what's going on in the football world. Now, college football is, we're almost at the end, and they have released the 12 teams that will make it into the first ever 12-team playoff in college football. And I want to talk about my predictions for who I think is going to win and how I think some of these games are going to play out. Okay, so first up, we have number 5 Texas versus Clemson. Clemson snuck their way in by beating SMU on a last-minute game-winning field goal that the field goal kicker had never kicked one like a walk-off field goal before, and he was able to make it. I think Texas is going to beat Clemson. I think just Texas has the better defense. I think Steve Sarkisian can come up with a really good game plan that is going to, because let's be honest, Clemson should have lost more games this year than they have. And we saw how SMU was able to come back on them rather quickly, especially in that fourth quarter, to make that a tie game. I just wish SMU defense would have done their part. You know, I'm a Bama fan, so I would have liked for us to sneak in there, but that didn't happen, okay? And I'm not mad that SMU got in over us. All right, so like I said in our first matchup, I think Texas is going to have a little bit more firepower, and they're going to be able to beat Clemson and go on to play Arizona State. And then our next one, we have Penn State versus SMU. Even though SMU has a high-powered offense, I think we saw that Penn State, when they are hitting on all cylinders offensively, they can put up a lot of points. I mean, they hung right up in there with Oregon, and we know how good Oregon offense is, and they were able to hang in there with them up until the fourth quarter. So I also think Penn State has a better defense than SMU's defense. So I'm going to go with Penn State having to play, going in and beating SMU and having to play Boise State next. Then I have Notre Dame versus Indiana. Now, Indiana has been really good this year. They haven't really played anybody, though. Their strength of schedule is rather weak. The one ranked opponent they did play, they lost to Ohio State. So I'm going to give the edge to Notre Dame, even though, I mean, Notre Dame hasn't really impressed me this year, but they haven't disappointed me this year either. They've been kind of smooth sailing for the most part. So I think it'll be Notre Dame versus Georgia in that matchup. And then finally, Ohio State and Tennessee. Ooh, I think this is one of the first of the four games that could really go either way. Ohio State has a solid defense. Tennessee has a solid defense. Both have explosive offenses when they need to have. Ohio State struggled against Michigan, but at the same time, that is a rivalry. We all know how that is the game of the year. It doesn't matter what records are when both those teams go into that game. So I think Ohio State looks to bounce back. But I mean, Tennessee, when they get hot too. But I think in that one, I'm going to have to give the edge to Ohio State and have Ohio State and Oregon in a rematch game. Now, that's going to be very interesting. That's going to be very interesting. Because next, then we go into who's going to win out of Oregon and Ohio State. It's really hard to beat a team twice in one year. But, I mean, we saw Georgia do that to Texas. So, there's no telling, but I think that extra week of getting healthier, getting some players back, I think that will benefit Oregon and, you know, work on the game plan a little bit more. So I think Oregon would beat Ohio State and move on into as being one of the top four teams left in the playoff. Then we have Arizona State and Texas. I'm going with Texas. I definitely think Texas will win that. Then next we'll have Penn State versus Boise State. I'm giving the edge to Penn State. I'm going to be honest. Boise State just has Ashton Jeanty. People are talking about, why does he have so many carries a game? He's the best player on the team. Of course, he's going to have all those carries in the game. So I'm going to give it to Penn State to beat Boise State. And then Notre Dame, Georgia. I'm going Georgia at the end of the day. And yeah, I'm going Georgia. And then for the final two games, it'll be Oregon and Texas. I'm going Oregon on that one, guys. I think Oregon is going to the national championship game. I really do. Then I'll have Texas beating Arizona State. And that means, like I said, Oregon and Texas, Oregon going to the national championship. And then I have Penn State and Georgia. Penn State and Georgia? I'm going Penn State. I think we're going to have an Oregon and a Penn State national championship game. And it's going to be a rematch. And I think Penn State will pull it out. I think Penn State has won the national championship. And I know that's kind of crazy to say. And I'm sitting here thinking about it. And I'm like, that's actually really crazy to say. But that's my pick. And that's what I'm going with. I could be completely wrong. But then again, I could be right. But it's going to be some exciting games. We saw what championship weekend did and how that all played out and how that worked. So I know these next games going into the 12-team playoff is going to be ridiculous. I mean, coming down to the wire, I don't expect there to be any blowouts. I think teams are going to trade punches until the whistle blows. And I mean, we've seen some overtime games that happen as well. So I think as college football fans, we couldn't have asked for anything better. I think the 12 teams that needed to get in, all of them got in. I know people are talking about strength of schedule, but you can't win three games. You can't lose three games and think that you're going to go in. Because I know people are saying that Alabama should have got in. But like I said, you lose three games. And all your three games are to SEC opponents who you should have beat. All three games very much should have won, and you lost. You can't get in to the college football playoff and think that that's gonna play out. Like I don't see that. I really don't see that. But like I said, that's who I think is gonna go to the national championship. I was just checking to make sure what Clemson record was to make sure I'm not misquoting how many wins and losses they've had. But it's going to be very interesting to see, and I can't wait to sit down and talk about it with you guys as we discuss what's going on. Now, on to the NFL. A lot of things have been going on in the NFL, and I want to talk about some of the things, including the fact that, and this is a mix of NFL and college, Bill Belichick has decided to take the head coaching job at UNC, and he says he wants to make UNC a pipeline for the NFL. He wants to make it that school that is a 100% pipeline to the NFL. And I think that that is going to be very interesting to see because Bill Belichick is very much a old school coach. And this new generation of athletes are very flashy and very colorful, I guess you would say. And it'll be really interesting to see how Bill Belichick is going to handle that, how he's going to be able to reel in the top recruits to UNC, how with the transfer portal as well as NIL money, how schools are being allotted money to pay athletes, how that's going to work. But that's something to keep an eye out for everyone. Next season is going to be very interesting. These next few months are going to be very interesting with who is going to sign a UNC. Are there going to be recruits who decommit to go to UNC because Bill Belichick is there and they know that he can possibly make their NFL dreams come true? I mean, this is a guy that has won plenty of Super Bowls. I mean, so that's going to be really interesting to see how that works out with him. And in other news, I just want people to know Bryce Young was not the problem. And I told you guys Bryce Young wasn't the problem when everyone insisted that he was the problem and said that they should bench him and that we made a mistake by choosing him over CJ Stroud. I want to say, so far, he has proved me right. He took those 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks that he was bench. He got himself back together. He was able to gain confidence by sitting on the bench, which is what I believe he needed to do, because he lost all his confidence. Sometimes being benched, that can help build it up. And then we go on a 2-game winning streak. And we should have won our last 3 games. We should have beat the Chiefs. The Chiefs has one of the luckiest. I've been one of the luckiest teams I've seen. They should have lost 5, maybe 6 games already this season. I'm like, come on now. Should have beat the Buccaneers. Our defensive coordinators let us down on that one. How you let them just drive down the field like that? Why are you playing zone coverage? And Mike Evans is the number one receiver, and you're letting them just get 15, 17, 20-yard chunk throwing plays? Come on, you're supposed to play press coverage. Man, why are you in zone? With less than a minute left in the game? Come on. Come on. You know our defense isn't that great, and you put them in that situation. So our defensive coordinator let them down on that one. Also on the Chiefs one too, Bryce Young did what he was supposed to do. And then with the Eagles, drops. Catch the ball. Bryce Young can't do his job any better. He's putting the ball in places for you to catch. And what do our wide receivers do? They drop the ball. I can probably show you a 5-minute video of wide receivers dropping balls on Bryce Young that are very much catchable and should be caught. They're paying you to catch the ball. Catch the ball. I don't want to hear excuses for, oh, they're rookies or that. No, you've been catching the ball middle, high school, college. Now you can't catch the ball in NFL? It's a ball. Catch it. You should be able to catch it. I think Xavier Leggett is going to be a great wide receiver for us, but he has to work on his drop passes. He has to work on that, because that's the difference from being 3-10 to being 6-7 and arguably competing for a playoff spot in our division, because our division is trash. Like, come on, guys. Bryce is doing everything that he can, and I'm sick of people around him dropping the ball. I mean, against the Eagles have the last 8-9 weeks have been the number one defense in the NFL, and he was going to have a 98-yard game-winning drive, but Xavier Leggett dropped the ball. Metaphorically and physically, he dropped the ball. So we, as a Panthers fan, I'm so happy that what I believe to be correct is correct. Bryce Young is not the problem. Our defense needs to get better, and we need to have more reliable receivers to give Bryce Young a fighting chance, because he has gotten better. Players are even talking about how he's more vocal and more demanding in the locker room now, because I knew that he was that guy. How could we not? He is a Heisman winner. That was only reason why he did not win a national championship is because his top wide receivers both tore their ACL. Georgia has a national championship because Jameson Williams tore his ACL in the national championship game. If that would have not happened, Bryce Young would have been a national champion and a Heisman winner and undoubtedly the number one draft pick. And then if we would have kept who our interim head coach was and not hiring Frank Wright, and having a solid defense, not trading away all our trading away Christian McCaffrey, DJ Moore, and have Bryce Young come into a decent setup with a sure wide receiver, a better defense, and a great head coach out the gate, we would have never had this conversation about he shouldn't have been drafted number one. And I know we had to make trades and stuff to get number one, but you don't got to trade away everything to help him. Only thing we did good was keep Chuba Hubbard. And even Chuba Hubbard let him down in the Buccaneers game. Like I said, everyone around him is letting him down. They need to put people around him that's going to lift him up, because he has been a great quarterback for us. And I firmly believe we have found our next franchise quarterback. Now it's the job of the front office to do everything they can to continue to build around him. And I will give them a shout out for helping him with the offensive line. And our draft class wasn't too horrible this year. But We need to continue to do that and maybe test the free agency market and see who we can go out and get so that he can have a for sure one wide. Adam Thielen is doing everything he can, but the guy is 35. The guy is 35. So he's not going to be there much longer doing what he's doing now. Okay? Now, the Eagles are a team that everyone seems to be panicking over, and I think they have no reason to panic. I honestly think they have no reason to panic. People are saying they should have whooped. They should have blown us out. I think we are a better team than people anticipate. I'm not saying we're great because our defense is still trash. But when you have a team that starts to believe, they become a little bit better. All right? And I think people don't understand that. The Panthers are a little tougher team than what they think. Okay? So I think they're putting too much stock in us playing them, the Panthers playing them close. I get that you're not happy in the passing game right now, but you're also a team that's going to run the ball 30 times. You have the best running back right now in the NFL. Why not run him? You have a great offensive line. Continue to run him. Passing is about being in rhythm. It's hard for Jalen Hurts to get in rhythm when he's constantly handing the ball off. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I think you're putting a little too much stock in him saying he's not a great passer. He's not what A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith need. Like, this is a team that only lost two games so far. Can we see an implosion before we start going into the worst case scenario? I think everybody's kind of blowing it a little bit out of proportion right now. And I mean, AJ Brown was out for some weeks. Devontae Smith was out for some weeks. Chemistry is going to be off. And it's going to take a few weeks to get it back. So I think you guys should calm down just slightly about what the Eagles have going on. Because it's really not that bad. I honestly don't think it is as bad as what everyone is seeing. But we're coming to a point where the playoffs are coming. And things are going to get a little tougher. But I will say this, I might have a completely different opinion when I come back next week and we're talking about the aftermath of the Steelers and the Eagles, which is going to be a really good game. And it's also going to be important for Pickens to come back to the Steelers because their offense was very much stagnant without him there. They were able to figure it out. The Steelers are able to figure it out in the end, but that offense needs Pickens, okay? Mike Williams did what he had to do. Calvin Austin did a good job, but they need Pickens. He's that guy for them. And, I mean, the Eagles has a great offensive line, but we know what the Steelers are bringing on their defensive line. With J.J. Watt, Alex Highsmith, T.J. Watt, my apologies, T.J. Watt, Highsmith, as well as Herbig, okay? So Jalen Hurts is going to be under a lot of pressure. It'll be interesting to see how that offensive line handles that defensive line. And now if Jalen Hurts goes into that game and he looks like trash, then I think that's when you can have a little bit more concern, okay? And also on the other side, the Steelers, this is kind of a must-win game for them because they have the Eagles, then they have the Chiefs, then they have the Ravens, all in a 10-day span. Whoever made that schedule hates the Steelers. I mean, literally hates them because there's no way that should have been a thing. There's no way that should have been a thing. But in these next three games, I think it's important that they go 2-1. If they go 1-2, that's a little iffy. That's going to be very iffy. But like I said, the Chiefs are one of the luckiest teams in the league. And the Eagles are no slouch. And it's going to be hard to beat Baltimore in Baltimore. It's rare that they sweep each other. I know Lamar doesn't have a favorable record against the Steelers, but I'm going to be really shocked if they go into Baltimore and beat the Ravens two times in as many as, what, 4 weeks? I don't I don't see that happening. And Lamar is hungry for wins. Like he knows that this is crunch time and he has to win. He has to win. But like I said, we're getting in crunch time. Things are looking a little I still think the Lions are the team to beat. The Lions are the team to beat. Also, guys, don't let the Rams heat up. The Rams offense heat up, that's gonna be scary. Their defense is still a little up in the air, but if the Rams heat up, that's gonna be interesting. Okay. The Bills, even though they lost to the Rams, the Bills aren't gonna be a slouch either. I don't think I've seen Josh Allen play as good as I've seen him play this year. He's protecting the ball a lot better. He's making the right throws. He's keeping the ball out of harm's way. He's doing everything that he can do to be better and make his team better. And, I mean, this is a team that doesn't have, like, that arguably number one wide receiver. They're just playing really good team ball. Really good team ball. And they're also going to be a team to watch going into the playoffs. This is going to be a very tricky playoff, guys. It really is. It really is. I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to tell you who I think is going to go to the Super Bowl, but I will say this. It ran across my mind that this could possibly happen. A Bills and a Steelers. Bills and the Steelers. Super Bowl. Oh, my goodness. That could be something. But it also could be a Bills and a Lions Super Bowl. Two teams who have never won a Super Bowl. But, I mean, we're still too far out to completely, you know, make assumptions or make statements just yet. I'll give my final analysis in about 2 weeks or when the playoffs start, and I know exactly who's going into the playoff and who isn't, okay? But I've enjoyed talking to you guys. I've missed talking to you guys, and I will be right back next week to talk about even more football. And we'll have some games that we'll predict, and also I want to give a shout-out to my SC State Bulldogs. We're going to the Celebration Bowl, and Saturday we will play Jackson State in Atlanta. So hopefully when I come back next week, I'll be telling you that my alma mater are the HBCU national champions, okay? But even if we are, I'm super proud of those guys. First-year head coach Chinnish Berry has brought the team to their best record since 2013, and if he can walk away the Celebration Bowl at the end of his first year, I mean, what a historic season. What a historic season for him. But once again, I'm Kayla Lee.